It is now 10 weeks since my hemorrhage, and I still have achieved surprisingly little in the way of accommodation. I must remind myself again and again to check, to make sure that nothing on the blind side is being ignored or forgotten. It is still far from automatic. I wonder if I will ever accommodate. And I think of something one of my correspondents, Stephen Fox, wrote after he had lost the use of an eye. Far worse than the loss of depth was the new limitation on the visual field. My right arm became covered in bruises from running into door frames, which my brain was still reacting as if it was getting the full panorama from two eyes. I've also knocked objects off the table with my right arm. In fact, Stephen Fox concluded, limited scope remains a problem, even after 22 years, especially in crowded subway stations where people's paths may suddenly and silently converge on my right, resulting in occasional embarrassing collisions. Greenwich Avenue, and the outside world generally, remain as full of hazards, real and imaginary, as when I went for that first post-hemorrhage walk many weeks ago. People rush around, so preoccupied with cell phones and text messaging that they themselves are functionally deaf and blind, oblivious of their environment. Others have tiny insect-like dogs on long invisible leashes, which function as tripwires for the visually impaired. Children zip around beneath eye level on scooters. There are other dangers too. Manholes, grates, and fire hydrants. Doors suddenly opening, cyclists delivering lunches. The entire scene seems designed to drum up business for orthopedists. I dare not walk alone. Fortunately, my friends help out by walking with me, acting as guides and protectors on my blind side, and I would not dream of driving at this point. I try to stick to the right side of the sidewalk so that no one can overtake me on my blind side, but this is not always possible. The sidewalk is often crowded and not mine to commandeer, as I might like. I find myself losing things on my own desk, my reading glasses, my fountain pen, a letter I've just written, if I've placed them to my right. And yet, so I am told, in Frank Brady's book, A Singular View, The Art of Seeing with One Eye, almost everyone who loses an eye does accommodate to its loss, more easily if they are young or if the loss of vision is gradual, especially too if the affected eye is not the dominant one and vision in the other eye is good. I, alas, rank rather low on all these criteria. Most people, given time, are able to return to a full and free life, so long, Brady emphasizes, as they retain a special mindfulness, a hyperconsciousness of the missing side. Perhaps this will be possible for me too in the future, but it is far from my situation now. Strange incidents seem to beset me all the while. Returning the other day from a walk with my friend Billy, I lost him when I entered the elevator. I turned to the right, and someone was standing there, someone who I thought for a moment must be Billy. Then I realized it was a stranger who himself looked surprised and puzzled, even slightly alarmed, at my turning and staring at him with a look of befuddlement. He must have thought I was mad. It was only when I twisted still further to the right that I found Billy, to the left of the stranger, deep in my nowhere. 5 minutes later, when we got to my apartment and I turned to put on a kettle for tea, Billy vanished again. But I discovered him, after a bewildered pause, precisely where I had left him. He had not moved, but my turning away had put him in my blind spot, my visual and mental nowhere. I was again astounded that this could happen within seconds and in a way so contrary to memory and common sense. Each time this happens, it is just as startling. Time will tell whether I am able to adapt to this new visual challenge, or perhaps the hemorrhage will clear first and restore at least some peripheral vision to my right eye. In the meantime, I have a large nowhere in my right visual field and my brain, a nowhere of which I am not and can never be directly conscious. For me, people and objects continue to disappear into thin air or come out of the blue. These are no longer just metaphors for me, but as close as I can come to describing the experience of nothingness and nowhere.